I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Johnny Moe!
Rugby Weekly.
Getting the first pass.
Hey, welcome to Friday's Rugby Weekly. Ciarán Kennedy here on Champions Cup weekend. I'm afraid to say we got off to a bit of a rough start. It's 42 today. We've been thrown off course a little bit because at 12 o'clock I was on the Munster website waiting for my team news. At 12:01 I was clicking refresh. Murray Kinsler was doing the same on the Leinster rugby website. Very soon we had emails coming in saying, lads, where's the team news? Murray, what is going on?
I'm aggrieved and stunned. I was so used to my 12, midday 12 on a Friday team news, and this has really thrown me. So we'll have to get used to the new norm. I don't know what happened. They've decided to go an hour later, keeping everyone on tenterhooks. But we've plenty to sink our teeth into now that they have just named all those teams for four different, very different challenges for the provinces. And there's going to be lots of other interesting games around over the course of the weekend. But particularly for Munster and Leinster, Ulster are going to have a really tough task. But for Munster and Leinster, you'd say chances to get their Champions Cup campaigns off to a decent start.
Yeah, we'll start with Leinster, sure, seeing as how you're heading over there this weekend. They play Bristol at 5:30 on Sunday. And as is the case generally with Leinster team news in the Champions Cup, this team is just ridiculous looking on paper. Even if you just look at the bench, you've got Gus McCarthy, Andrew Porter, Thomas Clarkson, Orgie Snyman, Caelan Doris, Luke McGrath, Ross Byrne, Jordy Barrett, ready for his Champions Cup debut. With starting 15, the big news, Sam Prendergast at 10, Kieran Frawley at 15. I mean, there's loads to pick through with this team here, Murray.
Well, they've managed to get three of the out-halves into the match day 23, which is helpful considering we weren't sure which way it would go. No word from Leinster officially in their statement about Hugo Keenan, but it sounds like he's got a wrist injury coming out of that autumn campaign with Ireland and was ruled out. James Lowe not there either. There'll probably be more clarity on all that when Leo Cullen speaks this afternoon. But even still, it is a really stacked 23. The bench is ludicrously strong, really. When you look at Jordy Barrett set for his debut in the 23 shirt, their skipper, Ireland skipper, Caelan Doris, Orgie Snyman, Andrew Porter to come off the bench, and even Gus McCarthy, who's on a meteoric rise as well in that kind of replacement hooker slot. So they've real power to call on there against Bristol, but that's not to say that the starting team isn't outstanding either. I think the Prendergast-Frawley combination worked really well against Fiji, and they have played together for Leinster before, so they're very familiar with each other. But the playmaking element of that could be really important against this Bristol team, who I'd say will give them opportunities with their phase play attack, because Bristol are so attack orientated themselves that they tend to give up opportunities. But yeah, it looks like a really complete team, I think, with Henshaw and Ringrose's continuity from the autumn, really, and from their long-standing partnership in midfield. That'll be beneficial to Prendergast. He was making his first start in the Champions Cup. It's another big job for him ahead, but there's plenty of might in that pack. The most interesting part is probably Jack Boyle getting a start, his first Champions Cup appearance of any kind. He starts at a loose head prop. He's still only 22. He was in Ireland camp throughout the autumn and apparently did very well there. So that's a big chance for him now to try and kick on and start challenging that long-standing pecking order, really, of Healy and behind Andrew Porter. So I think Leinster fans have lots of reasons to be excited here. It's going to be a cracking game, I think. The head-to-head of that Bristol attack, which is just unbelievably ambitious. They run from everywhere. I don't know if everyone has seen them play this season, but you're in for a treat, I think, at times. But that's against Leinster's defence, which is unbelievably aggressive no matter where they are on the pitch. So you've got this kind of clash of styles that's going to be riveting. Bristol, I mean, four of their six tries last weekend against Harlequins came from their own half. One of them from a quickly taken 5-metre line out beside their own try line. So they'll test you from all over. And Leinster obviously trying to get that cohesion back, but obviously lots of these guys have still been playing together for Ireland over the last while. So you'd expect them to pick up to start up with a strong performance.
Yeah, I was going to say to you that Leinster have to get the job done in Europe this year when you consider the strength they've added to the squad this season. But then I keep thinking of that clip of Mick McCarthy a few years ago. I think he was Blackpool manager at the time. They haven't won a match in ages. And the journalist asks him, Mick, this can't go on. And he just says, oh, well, it can. There's no guarantee Leinster are going to get over the line in Europe this year. But the pressure and the expectation is maybe higher than ever.
For sure. And I mean, to lose haven't gone away in any way. They're probably stronger and they'll be completely determined to add another star to their six. So that's going to be a big potential roadblock if Leinster get it back there again. La Rochelle are going to be renewed with their motivation, especially as that team begins over the next couple of years, it looks like, to break up. This maybe feels like a bit of a last hurrah for this specific La Rochelle group. And they're going to be massive roadblocks. Leinster have no divine right to win it, even though they've had the heartbreak of recent years. The recent years suggest they will absolutely be in the mix. They've been really close for the last 3 years. The finals have all been on narrow margins. We know that. But you're right. They have to go all over again. And surely their own determination is at a different level again. But right now, they just have to focus on doing what they've been doing really well this season in the URC, actually, I think, is nailing each match week. They've been excellent so far. 6 bonus points from 7 wins. You know, they've been really clinical at times. And I don't know, I just get that sense that they're really managing week by week and focusing on kind of winning each of the weeks along the way. So it's a long way off to May, but you're right. The pressure is totally on them. They'll feel that more than anyone. And they put probably more pressure on themselves, I'd say, than anyone. But looking at that squad, when you've added in Snyman and Jordy Barrett and Slimani, who was really good against Ulster last weekend, it feels like they've got to go and get it done.
Yeah. As you say, it's an interesting matchup this weekend. Do you think they'll get off to a winning start?
I do. I think there's enough frailties in Bristol's defence and their, I suppose, exposure to this kind of pressure in a big Champions Cup match like this. I think they'll land a few blows. They really just are so dangerous with ball in hand, and I can't wait to see some of that in the flesh, but I'd expect Leinster to get the job done. What do you reckon?
Yeah, definitely. When you look at that squad, and there's a bit like there is cohesion there, even though these internationals haven't been there. They've been playing together for the last month anyway. And kind of like what you said already, I really like the way Leinster have been playing in the URC this season. There seems to be a bit more of a balance to the way they're managing that kind of Jacques Nienbaar defence with their own attacking strength. They've just looked so sharp straight from the off. And with those guys coming back in, you'd kind of expect a bit of a statement performance, really. I'm going to be down in Limerick tomorrow for Munster v. Stade Francais at 5:30. It's never a quiet week at Munster. It wasn't a quiet week this week. But like Leinster, they've got their internationals back. The thing that jumped out to me in this team is a debut for Evan O'Connell in the second row, a Champions Cup debut for Evan O'Connell in the second row.
That's great to see because he has such high potential, as we saw with the under-20s, his leadership and his all-round game, really. And I think over the last while against the All Blacks, 15 when he came off the bench in that game, really impactful. I thought he did very well against the Lions last time out as well. A couple of errors in there, as you'd expect from a young second row, but he's a very smart operator. They really rate his astuteness and his game understanding and that side of it. So it's wonderful to see that happening. And there's, you know, obviously we've spoken about Munster and injury issues at the start of this season, and it feels like that's just slightly starting to recede a bit, and they're getting a bit of strength back with Thacker Abrams back last weekend, Nankerville back. Key guys who can give them momentum in a game. And of course, the halfbacks, Casey and Crowley, who are coming in off the on the crest of a wave from that Australia game. So I think it's a really good chance. Stade Francais are not bringing their strongest team by any means. So this is a really good chance for Munster to show that, you know, what they're saying about being in a good place behind the scenes is on the money. What did you make your visit down there during the week? I know you were there on, was it Tuesday? What was your sense of how things are going?
Yeah, I was there on Tuesday. It was interesting because it was just a couple of hours after they had announced that Chris Boyd was going to be coming in as this performance consultant, which I don't know, it felt a little bit vague in the Munster statement, and it was still kind of hard to get a full appreciation of what that role is actually going to look like when we were speaking to Ian Costello. It sounds like he'll be kind of working more with the coaches in a kind of advisory role than the players directly. But we also spoke to Thacker Abrahams and Alex Nankavell, and they were both really interesting. And I know we mentioned Abrahams a bit on the Monday pod, but I'm really excited to see him play now after speaking to him, because I got more of an appreciation of what's actually been going on in his life kind of off the pitch, which is a bit wild, really. So he signs for Munster from Leon over the summer. I think he came to Limerick in August, but himself and his wife welcomed their first child, a daughter, over the summer as well, and there were just complications in getting passports and visas sorted. So Abrahams has been here for 5 months, or sorry, his daughter is 5 months old, and he didn't see her for 4 months until the other week. So he was saying that the baby had forgotten his face by the time they actually got over to Limerick. So he's had his injury troubles that we've all known. He was out from round 2 of the URC, I think, wasn't it? But he's also had this family issue going on off the pitch. So thankfully that's all settled down from they're all back together in Limerick, and hopefully it translates into just getting up and running properly on the pitch at Munster. And it was just a bit of a reminder that we never know what's going on with these lads off the pitch.
Well, those two things are absolutely linked in my mind. You know, often when you're stressed away from sport, your body breaks down. It happens a lot, actually, particularly when kids are born and things like that. But that's obviously a heightened stress that he's been dealing with. And you saw last weekend against the Lions what he can do. Just flourishes of his footwork. Obviously, he's an unbelievable finisher. He set up Shane Daly with just that burst of pace. You know, just get the ball in his hands. Even if it's a one-on-one, a two-on-two, whatever it is, just give him the ball early and let him work his magic, because he will create. And that's really exciting. That's why they signed him. They wanted that X-factor ability in their backline. So that's going to be great to see. And it's really interesting on the coaching front with Chris Boyd coming in. It feels like he's almost going to be mentoring Mike Prendergast in a way, and he potentially will still step up as the head coach in the longer term. I think they're maybe facing a bit of criticism about, you know, what's the plan here, but you're reacting on the fly to that mutual consent departure with Graham Rowntree, and it, you know, normally that stuff doesn't happen after six games of a season. So I think he's a smart appointment, even if it is short term. He's really experienced. He did a brilliant job in Hurricanes winning Super Rugby, unbelievable job in Northampton, helping them build to where they got to winning the Premiership. He wasn't there at that time, but you know, he had laid the foundations for that, and it feels like Munster in a similar-ish spot. So his input, even away from the day-to-day coaching and game planning around the programme, I think will be really vital. Munster have worked hard on that stuff with Ian Costello in the background, but to have another set of eyes and an outside perspective is really beneficial. So I think that's a good addition. And apparently Alex Codling's doing great work with the line out in the Mall and has been really well received. So if Munster can get that firing against Stade, I think they'll hopefully get off to a flying start.
Yeah, and it's an important game for them, because if you think back to that opener against Bayonne last year, 17-0 draw, it actually felt like a defeat. It was so deflating on the day, and it made life really difficult for Munster to get out of the pool. They end up going away to Toulon and winning a kind of backs against the wall performance. Getting off to a positive start against Stade at home, I think, would just make everything a little bit less stressful for all involved. And as you say, Stade aren't bringing over their strongest 23. Feels like a big chance. I think Munster will get the job done. Ulster are in action on Sunday. They play Toulouse at 3:15. I love reading Toulouse team sheets. I never get tired of seeing Romain Entamac at 10, Antoine Dupont at 9. This is a big challenge for Ulster. Obviously, it goes without saying, but I don't know. One to be excited about as well.
Start off with a handy fixture, all right. It is star-studded, that Toulouse 23. They haven't held back. Dupont capturing them and partnering Entomac, and their array of stars is unreal. Even Juan Cruz Malia coming back onto the bench in the form of his life. Paul Cost, such a dangerous centre. Joshua Brennan's another one who's on the bench and in great form. So it is a massive, massive challenge. Us are heavy underdogs here. Their selection is interesting. They've left. You look at Herring, O'Toole, Henderson, Izachukwu, Timoney, even Postlethwaite at the moment. They're on the bench. And as things have been going, you think they're absolutely first-choice frontline players, really. But they've obviously opted for a powerful bench there. They have a six-day turnaround to face in Bordeaux at home, which is another tough task, but they obviously sense there's a greater opportunity there. And you can understand the selection in that regard. There is that power to come off the bench, but it's going to be a really tough ask for them. There's good stories there. James McCormick, who we've mentioned a good few times in the pod this season, he's been playing really well. 22-year-old hooker who's been taking his chances, and he gets his first appearance in the Champions Cup. Ben Carson, who I think you highlighted was playing really well as well, he's still only 22, gets his debut in midfield after being really good against Leinster last time out. And then you've Aidan Morgan and Werner Koch getting their first chances in the Champions Cup with Ulster. So those are kind of nice milestones. But it's hard not to think it's going to be a very tough afternoon for them. Toulouse have been in good form. They haven't been perfect this season. They've had a bit of chopping and changing, actually, and always do with French internationals, etc. But, you know, their selection says they mean business and they're going to be keen to get up and running in style, so that they're the ones people are fearing coming down the tracks. And, you know, there's plenty of cause for that, because they're a brilliantly coached and clever tactical team, but their individuals are also both big, powerful, and also incredibly skillful.
Yeah, this is slightly similar to some of the discussion we had coming out of the November internationals. But just when you look at that Ulster team, there's a lot of players in that 15 who don't have a huge amount of caps beside their name. We've kind of flagged throughout the start of the URC season that it's going to be a challenging season for Ulster anyway. Who are the guys you kind of want to see step up over this next period and this run of Champions Cup games for them?
Well, it's fantastic to see James McNabney getting the start at 8. Another guy who impressed last weekend and has been an outstanding prospect for a couple of years and has had an unlucky couple of injuries along the way to slow him up, but they've been keen to push him, and this is another big step in it. Scott Wilson at tight head, we're always talking about props, and he's one that Ulster fans are really excited about. We know that he's got the ability to break up field and have his mullet flowing behind him, and it's eye-catching, but I think all the set-piece stuff is the most relevant, so they'll be really keen to see him nail his scrum lineouts, mauls, and contribute massively in that area. So they're the players you're looking to step up. McCormick, Carson, young Ulster players who have come through the pathway and now are trying to, I suppose, establish themselves as core players under Murphy. That's the story of this Ulster squad at the moment. That's where they are. And even if it is a tougher day on the scoreboard, I'm sure players like that will get plenty out of getting, you know, trying to get to this level against a Toulouse team, which is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, absolutely. Connacht are in Challenge Cup this season. They are at home to Zebre on Saturday night. What jumped out to you on this team? I'm looking at Che Mullins at 14.
Yeah, another one who will be eager to finally get his chance. Finally, maybe the wrong word. He's been in the Sevens program and then switched over to Connacht and has almost had a foot in both camps. But he's really impressed me with the Sevens. He's powerful on the ball. He can kind of bust through tackles when it looks like he's going to be cornered. And defensively, even, he's really added to his game with the need to jackal and make one-on-one tackles in Sevens. So that's good to see. And there's a nice balance to that Connacht team. The Ireland internationals don't return, and that makes sense given this challenge and the Challenge Cup, and they'll want to really target those interpros in the URC. But even off the bench, you're seeing that sprinkling of youth as well. Sean Naughton and Fiacna Barrett are going to make their debuts, and they've been playing AIL rugby recently, and obviously with Connacht Eagles. Both of them play with Corinthians actually and have been flying with them. But again, there's that eagerness to get a chance to prove yourself at senior level, and both of them were outstanding prospects at under 20 level. Norton's a clever, quite combative out half as well, and Fiacna Barrett, just a big man who can play as well. He's got some nice touches on the ball for a tight head. So they're great things. Again, products of Connacht's own pipeline and now getting a chance to step up. It is certainly more out of the limelight this weekend, but as Birch has been talking about for the last number of weeks and months, and I agree with, this competition is a really good opportunity for Connacht. Even if they have to manage what they're trying to do in the URC and prioritising that at key stages, keeping themselves in the hunt here to get a knockout run would be brilliant for the players' experience, but also for the fans who are so loyal and just want that flavour of being in the hunt for a trophy. I think it would be brilliant in this competition.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Connacht. It's sometimes hard for them to balance their resources across those two competitions, mm-hmm. but you're dead right. Every year they're in the Challenge Cup, I think that it's something Connacht should really be targeting and going after, because, as you say, what it could offer them and the lift it could give the whole place would be really something. It's kind of like the Munster thing, I guess, at the moment, in terms of the most important thing is just make your home games count, and this is the starting point.
For sure. And here's hoping it'll be a long run, but it's going to be a cracking weekend ahead. Even tonight, La Rochelle looking to bounce back from losing to Van in the top 14. They're playing Bath, Johan van Graan's Bath. So two very familiar figures in charge of these teams. Bath, as we know, have been playing some brilliant rugby in the last year or beyond even. And La Rochelle have great pedigree in this competition and lots of strengths of their own. So that'll be a cracking start to the weekend. And as always, the challenge will be trying to keep up with everything. But we'll do our best with the provinces, and I'm looking forward to getting into Monday's podcast, because there's always loads to analyse and break down from these games.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your trip to Bristol. And safe travels. Chat to you Monday.
Cheers. Have a good one in Limerick.
All right. We'll be back on Monday with Bernard Jackman to look over all the provinces in Europe and whatever else comes up from the weekend. Until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend and we'll chat to you soon. Put the boys in a better land. You're always talking about the boys in a better land. The boys in a better land.
Drivers got names for Virtue double barrels.